Good evening. So we are a week away from the holiday of Shavuos, a week away from Kabbalas HaTorah, a week away from the Yom Tov of the day we accepted the Torah. It's actually remarkable. I remember I had a friend who said he worked in an office. He said, let's take off for Shavuos. And there's a lot of Jews there. Like, what? Never heard of Shavuos. They never heard of Shavuos. You know, you probably have, you've seen it.
No, they I don't know some people. They don't know.
Don't even know what it is. The day we got the Torah from Hashem. So it was a remarkable thing. I was just thinking, so before anything else, ladies, I want to tell you something. Tomorrow is Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan. It's Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan. It's a day which the Shlah, who is one of the greatest sages of the late 16th, early 17th century, who was a Rav in Frankfurt, Germany, and a Rav in Yerushalayim, who was the greatest disseminator of the Torah, of the Arizal, of Lurianic Kabbalah in Europe. He spread the Lurianic Kabbalah throughout Europe. So he says, tomorrow is a day when you're supposed to pray for your children to follow the way of Torah Mitzvahs. Oh. It actually has something called a tefillah hashlah. If anyone wants to, you can email me. I'll give you a link to it. You'll call me. I'll tell you word for word.
Is it in Anenu?
Yes. It's in Anenu. It's for... No. I know so. It's in Anenu. So I wanted to say one thing.
During the day.
He actually wrote a tefillah to daven for your children. I wanted to tell you one thing. I got into this a little bit. To genealogy, online genealogy, just for whatever reasons, I'm trying, because I want to get some of my Holocaust people down on it. It's actually remarkable, because on some of my sides, you can go back hundreds of years, literally hundreds of years. For my mother's parents, I can only get back their parents. I can't get back because of the Holocaust. And then my wife, my father's mother, I really go back about 300, 400 years. My father's grandfather, my wife's grandmother goes back to, I think, Adam. I think they go back to the creation of the world. Through David Melch, through Spain, the whole shebang. But here's what I was saying. I saw my wife's great-grandfather, his Ellis Island, coming into Ellis Island. I can get it because it connects to everything online. It's a computer. It's mind-boggling. So when you're on these programs, so I saw his Ellis Island the day he got registered coming into Ellis Island in August 1937. He was 46 years old on the thing. And he's coming from Palestine. He had to leave Israel, Palestine, because he had issues with the government there, etc. So if I was a spy for whatever. So he leaves. I tell my wife, you know, imagine this. He leaves in 1937. He comes to America. That's 80 years ago. In 1937, America, there was very little Torah. You talk about many Jews got lost. There was a generation of these immigrants. So many of these people got lost. And when he passed away in 1980, he had dozens and dozens of descendants. Today, this person, Azriel Sakachovsky, who passed away in 1980, who came on that boat in August 1937, has many hundreds of descendants. Matter of fact, they have a Hanukkah party, his descendants, because when he had a thing about his children and grandchildren, when he was alive, his children and grandchildren had to come to a Hanukkah party at his house, and he'd give them a check, he'd give them money. So his children made a Hanukkah party for their children. Now it's like a couple of generations later. There are name tags. There's just so many people, and you have no idea who everyone is. And they're all related to my wife somehow. I mean, they have name tags. And to my knowledge, every single one of them is Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, to my knowledge. For sure over 1,000. I just don't know what the number is. But what's my point over here? This is a man who came in Ellis Island in 1937. Now we're 80 years later. He did everything he could. You need Siyata Deshmaya. You need Hashem's blessing. You need prayer. Everyone, you know, it says, the Ramesh Feinstein brings out, someone does tshuva, someone is motivated to connect to Judaism, that means they had a great-grandparent or a great-great-grandparent, somebody who prayed for them. That's how you ladies end up in this room here tonight. Somebody in your history prayed for you. Somebody in your past prayed for you. So you need to, really, every single day, a parent has to pray for their children every single day. You don't know which tefillah is. But if you don't, at least tomorrow you come into Shavuos, you're talking about the future of your generations. You don't know where the tefillahs go. They said that the stipler, someone wants to ask the stipler what he's doing. He says he's davening for his son.
Send link.
Anyone who emails me, I will give you a link. Or it's in that Nani book, or the art school sends it tomorrow. The stipler, who was one of the greatest sages of the last generation, so it is. He was an older man. He was in his 70s. He said he's davening for his son. So his son, Reb Chaim Kanievsky, who's the leading sage today, was in his 50s, and he was sitting there davening for his son that he should go. You know, he should be great. And that's how Reb Chaim Kanievsky, who's now in his 80s, is the greatest sage of the generation, because he had a father, a parent who davened for them. So, ladies, your mothers, when they be grandmothers, if you daven, daven, and daven. Tomorrow, if you're not, you should really do it every day. I mention it tomorrow just because it's a custom and it's going to Shavuos. You gotta daven. You need to daven for your children, and don't waste an opportunity. Every prayer from a parent is precious. You don't know, you know, it's interesting to me that when I'm on this genealogy thing, it's actually more than interesting. It's shivering that I can see some of the camps. I had no idea who died in Auschwitz. Some of my relatives, you can see Auschwitz, Chelmno, you know, like all the different places. And some of just say Holocaust, like, and there are dozens and dozens. I've just started. I'm sure there'll be a lot more coming up. Dozens, momish dozens of relatives I have Holocaust, 41, 42, 43. You know, I lost hundreds of that tree of relatives. My each of my grandparents had multiple siblings, and all their cousins and aunts and uncles and grandparents all were murdered. But my grandmother, who survived 6 years of the Holocaust, 6 years. I mean, she was in Poland the day the war started. So when the Holocaust started from her, you know, she lost her first spouse in the Holocaust. I mean, literally crazy stories. She was, I've said this before, she was one of 30,000 Jews to be in Poland and not be sent to Russia, who survived the war, out of 3+ million Jews. You're talking about, you know, the statistics of that are, I mean, mind-boggling. So she said, she always told me, she always claimed that she survived because of Kibbutz Avim, but she also said that her father was always nervous about her. Because she was like the, you know, a little bit more of the rebellious one. She was always religious. She married a Hasidic Jew. She's always a very religious girl. But she was like the troublemaker of the family when she was younger. So I said, you know why, Bubby, you survived? Because your father davened for you the most. He was the most, he said, she was the most nervous about her. And her father, the person I'm named after, my grandmother who passed away last year at 103, her father is Menachem Mendel. So I'm named after. I said that this person. He said daven for her left and right. I said, how do you think you survived? You know, a mother especially, a mother's prayers for a child. You don't know where it goes. So take advantage of the opportunity. And generally, should daven every day. I just want to just, you know, here to learn and say a parent davens for children every day. Every day. And you don't give up on children. Hashem doesn't give up on us. We don't give up on children. We don't give up on grandchildren every day. But certainly on Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan, as we come into Shavuos, not only should our grandchildren know what Shavuos is, right? But our grandchildren we should have a Torah life where every day is you know, when you learn Torah, it's a Kabbalah Satorah, it's acceptance of Torah. So it's an important time of the year. But it's important tomorrow to remember about our children. Tonight, though, we're going to worry about ourselves a little bit. And we're going to talk about Zrizus, which we've been talking about, this alacrity. I'm going to explain what does it break down, what Zrizus is. Bibir Chelki HaZrizus, to explain the different portions of Zrizus of alacrity. Says the Ramchal, Chelki HaZrizus Shnayim. Echad Kodem, you need to have Zrizus before your deed, to get the deed accomplished. If you sleep on the job, you won't get there. There's so many things in life. To get there, you need to push yourself. to get to a class. Actually, I spoke to someone today. Says, you know, she wants to come, but she can't come. Blah, 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 blah. You know, legitimate. But to get somewhere, you gotta have Jesus. There are lots of things that stop you from getting to where you could be, especially by mitzvahs. I where did I see this one? Just one second. I'm blanking out what it was. Recently, this past week, I was reading about someone who's trying, who was spreading Torah, and they were very successful. But whenever they spoke, there'd always be something went wrong. The power went out. You know, something got happened. There was lots of. He said he knew at that point that they were doing the right thing, because the Yetzirah wanted to stop it. The Yetzirah wants to stop it. I mean, it's the evil inclination. By a Jew doing a mitzvah, there's a Yetzirah that tries to block it. So you need to have Zrizus to get there. It can't just be well intentioned. So you gotta be quick. You gotta seize the day, take the moment. You need one before you do the deed and after you do the deed. Koydim eschalas hamaisa, before exercising Zrizus before the deed means as follows. Shlo yachmitz ha'adam es ha'mitzvah. Don't delay in starting a mitzvah. Ela b'hagia zmana, rather when the time of the mitzvah arrives, oh b'hizdamna l'fanav, or when a mitzvah opportunity comes your way, it could be tzedakah, it could be charity, it could be to daven tomorrow, right? You have a chance in the day to daven, don't delay it, because you may not get it later in the day, you may get tied up. You may get busy. You may have some kind of emergency you didn't plan for. It could be having a guest, going to a shir. It could be doing a chesed. When a mitzvah comes, don't delay. Rather, when the time of mitzvah arrives, obiz damna lefanav, when it presents itself in front of you, you have a great idea. You have a shirach. You think of two people. I got one of the shidduch I got Patreon chanas for was for the Frank Schultz shidduch. Okay, I'm sure if I would have let him hang around there, there would have been other people who thought of it. Okay, but I saw him the first day he walked into the shul. The first day he walked in, I said, you know, maybe you should go for this. Now, I know Rachel is involved in her becoming religious, so I know her very well. So Jonathan comes for a 3-month stay for a contract for the summer. He's supposed to leave. For those who don't know, this boy came here a few summers ago. Now they're married, kids in New Jersey. Hopefully kids. I read in the shidduch. He actually had appendicitis that week. Same week, he actually, the first day got canceled. But they went out the following week, and he got engaged. They got engaged, right? His contract ended early. He was supposed to be 3 months, it was 2 months, and he got engaged right then. Literally, you know, it could have waited. You know, a shidduch, set somebody up, two people up, meet somebody, you know, somebody just told me today they're going to go to Israel. They want to see Chaim Kanievsky, who I mentioned just before, with his father. You know, go to Israel, you want to do something, you got to take advantage. Anyone ever meet Rabbi Avadia Yosef? You heard of Rabbi Avadia Yosef? Great sage in Israel. When I was in Israel, he was ranked the most powerful person in Israel, ahead of Netanyahu, Rabbi Avadia Yosef. Most influential person, not powerful. Netanyahu is probably more powerful, but most influential. You can't meet him today. You know why? He's learning from Moshe Rabbeinu, which is in Shemayim. So if you didn't take the opportunity a few years ago, it's no longer here. And there are people who have relatives. They want to see them, say Shalom Aleichem, invite them, then they disappear. You know, these things go. So you need to have Zrizus. If you think of something, think of a good deed. You think you want to do a mitzvah. You know, I've seen more than once. Person said he wants to give tzedakah, gave it right away. You know why? Maybe they'll lose the money. Maybe the Yitzhara. I should save the money. Don't. Person that can typhus did. Person wants to go ahead and take advantage of a mitzvah. Again, of course, it has to be thought out, obviously. If you don't have the money, don't give the tzedakah. Or if you don't want to go to yeshiva and you have no way to support yourself, I mean, everything has to be, if it's not a good shidduch, don't, I don't think it, introducing people who are clearly not for each other is a kindness. It's actually turns people off very often. I mean, they don't want to date anymore if they get read too many. You got to think out. What I'm talking about, once you think something out and it makes sense, I'm not talking about being impulsive or reactive or not thorough. We have to be very thorough, by the way. I mean, we've talked about this previously. Very thought out about what we're doing. That's for sure. But if you come to a thought and it makes sense and it's thought through, don't wait. Don't lose that moment. You don't know what tomorrow brings. You may have the energy today and it may not be here tomorrow. Or the person may not be here tomorrow. Or the opportunity may not be here tomorrow. Or the trip may not be here tomorrow. Imahir yachosh maseyu lach lechos bavaso. One should quickly jump into action to seize the mitzvah and to perform it. Don't let time go by. Because there is no danger like that danger. Every moment you could lose out. It could be the opportunity could be lost. You had this good energy and it could be lost. You had the opportunity, you had the money. You had the idea for the shidduch, but the person's leaving. They're going to go. You got to do it now. There are people, you know, someone told me once about a very prominent person in Lakewood that when I was in Lakewood, he was still learning. But he said 20 years before, this person was offered a great opportunity to be a big teacher of Torah. But it could have done a lot of good. But he didn't. He waited. He lost his opportunity. It didn't come again. He figured it'd come again. If people want to get married, things come up, it's there, oh, I don't want it, and then it's not there tomorrow. It's a houses. I know somebody, I could punch them, I wouldn't punch them, I like them, and they're a lady, but so I'm sure I wouldn't punch them. But they had an opportunity to buy a house, and it would have been so good for them. Oh, I don't want that, and it's not there. It disappears. I, you know, somebody once told me, an Israeli said to me a couple years ago, he says he saves money, and every time that he saves money, the market goes higher. He can't keep up with the market because you're in the Bay Area. But you know what it is? A few years before that, he had the money. He just delayed. I want a bigger house. He had the money. Yeah, and okay, it's some things you can't know. But very often, you have opportunities. You have chances, and it doesn't stick around. You know, if you don't push yourself Wednesday nights to come to the shir, it's not here Thursday night. This is a shir. That's not here next Wednesday. It's sure it's 2 weeks from now. You know, life is short. You don't realize it. There's no danger like the loss of opportunity. If you don't chap a rein for Yom Kippur, like I was talking to Karen Einfeld, you have a bar mitzvah. Enjoy it. It's not going to be here. You either chap a rein, you enjoy the bar mitzvah, or you don't. You won't have another bar mitzvah for your son. It won't be here again. I will take a small amount. She was a small amount of credit. I told her, listen, your family's coming in. Have a lunch. She was not planning to have a lunch. I said, have a lunch tonight. When are you going to see your family like this again? Your next big simcha is going to be at least 6-7 years away from now when your daughter will get married. You know, this is your chance. This is your chance right now. She had her great uncle coming in. Right, who is an elder yid, an old Jew who had been usher son. You either take advantage of your family when they come, either take advantage or you lose the opportunity. It won't be here after the bar mitzvah. It won't be here, and you may never have this kind of family get together again for several years. And when you do have it, some of those people won't be here, unfortunately, most likely. So you don't want to delay if you have an idea. You don't want to delay if you have an opportunity because you could lose it. Sometimes in life you have energy. You have the time to do it. And that energy wanes. Not sometimes it's physically you don't have an energy anymore. And other times, you know, you lose the drive. Drive is very important to accomplish in this world. Drive is super important. I at some level, you know, this genealogy, I'm not spending that much time, but I am spending some time on this. You know, I want to see if I can get to my real goal, besides it, to get my kids to, they should know where they come from. It's very important to know where you come from. You know, if you're a descendant of Gedolim, of great people, you should know that. But one of my drives is that my mother's parents, who lost all of their relatives after the Holocaust, they never found anyone. They found, like, one of them found one, like, a third cousin or second cousin, and one found a first cousin, or second cousin. But no one. I mean, literally no one. So I did this. I want to see if I can get anyone on this. It's traumas, you know, because people die. I mean, they're already in Shemaim, but maybe for my other, she has cousins, she never knows. She would have, in theory, she could have lots of cousins. She would have no idea. So I actually did the DNA test also, because it can go with it. I want to see, and I want to know, because it's, you know, time goes by. My grandparents looked, by the way. They went through all these charts. But today with the internet, they never used the internet. There wasn't internet in 1960. They didn't have that opportunity. They went, where'd they go to? They went to Yad Vashem. And they put the names into Yad Vashem, and they put it in, there's one other place they put it, and they searched for the names. Nothing ever came. And they looked, you know, it could have been that their sibling was alive. Who knows? I mean, the chances are unlikely, but if it's not now, it's not going to, you know... Now is a chance. There's a lot of things. There's lots of things in life. You don't get the information. Like my grandmother, just going to genealogy, my Baba Miriam, is crazy. I went to Poland when I was 18 years old to meet Shiva students. When I was 18 years old, I asked her for her family names. Now remember, this is Poland did not have birth certificates turn of the 20th century. They were all wiped out. She had no, you know, and any records were destroyed. So I asked her for the names. So she wrote it for me on my 18th birthday card. I have these names written out. My grandmother, this Bubby, probably 10 to 12 years later, already had dementia to an extent. And today she's in Shemayim. I can't ask her for those names anymore. I didn't ask her for who these people were. I would never have any idea. I would never know who was my great. Now you may say, what's the big deal? That's an argument. But if I ever would find out anything, you know, I could be a descendant of the Vilna Gaon. I have no idea, right? You know, but for my children, I want to know who my great grandparents are. I'll record it, and it's all be on, and I'll have it. But you may say family's not this, the stuff is not important. I can hear that, and I also can hear it's good to know that you come. I'm like, I just told my daughter today. I said, you realize you can go back to Adam and Rishon on your mother's side. You know, that's crazy, and in there you have all kinds of sages. You know that when you live with that reality, you walk around knowing that you live differently. By the way, you think differently. You think differently. I mean, but there's so many things. If you wait, you lose it. It's not here. There's the dangers of losing the mitzvah. You know what a mitzvah is? A mitzvah is eternity. Eternity. It's forever and ever and ever. It metamorphosizes you. It could be you help somebody. You know, I mentioned the shidduch. Let's imagine somebody else would have made the shidduch, but you know who gets credit? I'm not saying for me. I'll get credit. You know what? Because I did it. Maybe someone else could have done it. They didn't. Hey, you know what? They're going to get married. They're going to have children. They're going to have their own genealogy, and I'll have some small part in it. And many people will cop things that I didn't do. Also, I mean, just trust me. I dropped plenty of balls over here. But my only point is that if you wait, my father. Rabbi Mordechai Shapiro, who is a rabbi in Miami Beach, my father did his tahara. Why? The tahara is you prepare for death. Everyone knows that. Many of you do it. I know. In San Jose, in the Bay Area, it's chus, and it's a tremendous merit, but you don't have as much competition to do it. Usually Pat's very happy if you take the job, right? You know.
She's looking for you.
So, but in Miami Beach, it's not like that. And when the Rav... who had been there for decades passed away, or Mordechai Shapiro passed away. There are plenty of. My father called right away. The second he heard Did he pass away? What did my father say? I'm doing the Tahara. He called him to the... He wants to be in the Tahara. Did he want to do the Tahara? You know, if he would have called a half hour later, there's no way he would have got to do the Tahara.
I thought family members aren't allowed to...
He's not a family member. It's a rabbi of a shul.
Oh, I misunderstood.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's... You're correct about that. You heard correctly. That part. But no, it was a rabbi of the shul. So I'm saying, he chapped the rind. You wait, you snooze. What's the old expression? You snooze?
You lose.
You lose. There's a danger. Sometimes you're excited. You know, I can't tell. Sometimes I want to exercise. And that, you know, I make this. I have a meeting. I literally have to. And then I don't get to exercise. I was not snoozing. I was doing other things. But, you know, you got to eat. You got to take care of yourself. You got to prioritize. You got to take care of spiritual. So my job is full of spirituality. But, you know, I still have to learn. If I don't push time to learn, I'll be ignoramus. You gotta, you snooze, you lose. You take opportunities, they're here, things come up. Things, you lose energy, you lose opportunities. So before you get to the mitzvah, you gotta have proper drive. You can miss it otherwise. I'm gonna just tell you something. I mentioned about praying for children. I'm gonna tell you something which is awesome to think about. It could be, if you pray for your child tomorrow, it will affect the rest of their lives. Now, we're not going to know that. Could be you need 100,000 more prayers. I have no idea. But sometimes it's that one prayer, that one tear, that changes everything. So imagine here, parent A could have been that their child marries a better person, or the child's not religious and they have a spiritual moment, or their child's religious and they meet the right person, whatever it is. And it was that tefillah that changed that person. You change a person. You don't just change a person. You change all the future generations, in theory. And yet one mother davening, who knows if that was a person. But you snooze, you forgot about it. You lose. You don't even know what you lose. We don't know what we lost. Sometimes we know what we lose. And other times we lose opportunities and we don't even realize. You don't even realize, I could have davened. What does it mean to lose at that davening? I could have davened shachris. And if I would have davened shachris, my husband would have learned better Torah. I would have been healthier. Or whatever it may be. You know, it's a remarkable Gemara's. Listen to this. The Gemara says as follows. Tzedaka tatzel mimavis. That charity saves a person from death. Tzedaka. It could be charity, saves from death. And in fact, it brings down in the Sifrei Kabbalah, the Svarim, that very often before a person, God punishes a person, he will give them an opportunity to redeem themselves. He'll give them a chesed, an act of kindness. If they do that, they will be spared from the punishment. If they do that, it will spare them. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Akiva was told by people involved in the occult, you should know that the day of your daughter gets married, she will die. So he starts davening, whatever. Daughter gets married. And she wakes up in the morning after the marriage, and she sees that she had taken off a pin from her, what do they call for the hair? What's the pin? Is that like a fancy word for that? Those big, no, like a big sharp pin.
Oh, a hat pin?
Like a long, the old days, like the needles, like a long needle type thing. Could be, yeah. Like it's one of these things. She had taken it off and she had put it in the wall. This is not like today. Our walls are different. And she sees the one, she had killed a snake, a poisonous snake, with her hairpin. So Bekiva said to his daughter, like it was a poisonous snake. She told her father. She saw that she bite. It was, and this is 2,000 years ago before electricity, you know. And that she was with her husband. It was dark, whatever it was. The guy, I think she had married. Right? She had killed this poisonous snake, and they had said she was supposed to die. So Akiva asked the story. He said to her, "Did you do anything? Did you do anything which was a merit for you?" So she said the whole story. How was a poor person ready for the wedding, and she gave him this poor person. And helped it even when she was so prepared for her wedding and she needed the stuff, whatever it was. And then she said, that's why you lived. Really, you were supposed to die last night. I want you to know that. She didn't know that they had said she was going to die, but you lived because of that. So think about this. This daughter could have had generations after. Generations after her. She would have died. But because of her merits, she lives. Now go back to the Holocaust. Who knows? Why? I mean, I don't know why my grandparents lived. You know, my mother's father, I'm only thinking of this because I'm just doing this genealogy up and down. My mother's father saw his first wife and two children shot, dead, in front of him. They had a trap door when the Nazis came. And I'm not saying this to scare, I'm just telling you to, you know, I'm awed by it. I'm awed, whatever, by it. You know, it's my grandfather. You know, they ran, and his wife and two kids could not get there in time. And my grandfather got there, and they closed the door. There were a few people hiding. They put their hand in their grandfather's mouth, and he saw through the crevices to the floor his wife and kids get shot. You know, you were talking about, I mean, I don't know how my grandfather lived the rest of his life, how he lived, but it was seconds. What? Who knows? First of all, how they got there, but forget that. What was his merit? Like, I'm here because of that. I mean, what? I mean, my family, he has dozens of descendants. Like, something, someone, maybe his father. I mean, I don't know. I really don't know. Hashem has his plans. But I do know is that something was there. Why he lived, I have no idea. What merit he had or his grandparents. There is some merit. There is some merit. And we don't know what that is. And it could be that it's that one mitzvah. It could be that that prayer you pray for tomorrow for your children or grandchildren gives them that merit. But if you waste it, it's gone. My point is, we don't even realize sometimes the opportunities that come our way. And therefore, you need to have zrizus before the deed. You need to take advantage of the moment. You have to save, run for it. Run for the gold. You don't watch opportunities pass you by. You have a guest, someone in the community, there's a scholar, there's a whatever. Take advantage of it. There's something. The amitas zehadavar. And on the truth and the veracity of this reality, Harinu Zechon Levracha Bein Hamlacha Shlomo, the sages pointed out with the coronation of King Solomon. Sha'amar David Levinyahu. So David said to Benyahu, Benyahu Ben Yehoyada was the head of the Sanhedrin. Varatam Osu El Gachon. Take Shlomo down to the Gichon. Not to the Gachon, El Gichon, to the Gichon, which is a spring outside Jerusalem. Right? And Benyahu and Sadduk, who was a Kohen Gadol, and Nasan, who was a Navi. So you had Benyahu, who was the head of Sanhedrin, Tzadik HaKohen, and Nasan, a Navi, all took him down. The Anu Benyahu, Amen. Ken Yomar Shem. So David says to Benyahu, take Shlomo, he's alive, man. And what happens, I'm not going to go into the whole Navi of Malachim right now, but there are other people who are going to coronate, who are powerful people, Adoniyahu, who is David's older brother, with a different mother. And they were going to coronate him. And at that moment, Bathsheba comes into David with Nasan HaNavi and says, it's now or never. If you sit by and act, you don't act. By the way, now, I'm a trust, my background in law is trust in the states. Like, you either have a will or you don't have a will. And there are countless things. People wait. And there are real fights that come from that. Right? You either appoint this person, you either pass the baton on, or you do not. And if you do not, by not acting, it's not going to be Solomon who you promised would be the next king. It's going to be your oldest son who's not as worthy. So he tells Benyahu that day, when they come in to tell what's going on, go immediately to coronate Shlomo and sit him on my chair. So Benyahu says, Amen. So about Benyahu's response, the Medrash Rabbah says, it says as follows, Rabbi Pinchas b'shem Rabbi Chanan di Tzipori. Rabbi Pinchas said the name Rabbi Chanan of Tzipori, v'lo kfar ne'amar. That there will be a ben whose name will be Shlomo, and he will be the king. El harbe kategorin yamdu mikan vargi. There's many accusers that can block you to get to the Gihon if you don't act quick.
What is Gihon?
It was a spring, a river outside Jerusalem. Yeah, so that's where they used to coronate all the kings. Okay. So if you don't do it now, he may never get there. So Beniyahu said, "Amen." He was going to do it immediately, right? Before there shouldn't be any delay. Harbe, harbe kategorin. There are many forces that can go ahead on a material level. Also, with what's brought out, actually, Rav Dasha says this. Kategorin literally means like a prosecutor or accusators. Even in heaven, you could lose the merit. I mean, you could have been on that path. This is a remarkable. There's actually a halacha. You know, during the 9 days of mourning for the Beis HaMikdash, or Tisha B'Av, people do not get married. The minhag is that even the 3 weeks, we don't get married. But the post can bring down that you could even get engaged on Tisha B'Av. You know why? Because until you're engaged, somebody else could take the girl. Something else can happen. And you know what the Gemara talks about? Not that someone's going to steal, somebody's going to pray for her. Somebody's going to pray, let me marry this girl. Somebody's prayers can come and affect what you could have got. So Beniyahu says, I got to do this, and I need God's help to do this as soon as possible. Because the time... procrastination actually could open up a person to even heavenly accusers. Why should she get this? Why should he get this? Maybe they don't deserve this. Maybe a person will do something in the middle where they lose it on a spiritual level. And therefore our sages told us, this is a medrash and the mechilta tishmos. Ushmartim es hamatzos. You should watch over the matzahs, which literally means shmartas matzahs, that shmura matzah. You need to watch, you have to have in mind when you're making the matzahs for the mitzvah, you got to make sure it's done correctly. But the chazal, the Gemara says, the mechalta says it on a homiletic level. Ushmartim es matzahs, you should watch over matzahs. Mitzvah! It changes from matzah to mitzvah. Mitzvah habaliyadcha al techametzenu. Just like you can't let the dough rise, or it won't be matzah, it will be chametz, it will be bread. So too a mitzvah, don't let it ferment. Don't let it be lost. Don't squander the moment, don't squander the opportunity. Again, I'm not making a big deal about praying for it. I mean, just, but if you don't do it, that opportunity tomorrow is not gone. By the way, praying for kids is important every day. I'm just picking tomorrow. It's because it's an Indian. But there are many other things you will lose. And again, we don't realize that one tefillah can make metamorphosis. When I look back, how I met my wife, and at the point I met her and she met me, there were trillions of things that had to happen for that to happen. Trillions! I mean, I'm understating, obviously, because it's... I mean, who I met, how I met... the suggestion was my wife's sister. I've said this before. If I would have dated her, forget about it. Nice girl, you know, very nice girl. But not for me. I would never date my wife. And I wasn't read to my wife. That's someone else. But somebody I had known from years before said, no, not for her, for her. Right? I'll keep going, by the way. Do you know what that takes? It was one prayer this way, that way. Who knows? I don't know. I don't know. But I do know one thing. It was to get that. So who knows? Maybe that one tefillah. Maybe that one mitzvah. Maybe this way, that way. You don't know. We don't even realize. You know, your ladies are in this room. Mrs. Stolen, you're a miracle. You too, Julia. Miracle. You know, from Russia, when they fed you atheism, science is God, where they ripped away your Yiddishkeit. They ripped away. I had someone at my house this Shabbos lunch from Minsk. I was telling them, Minsk? Do you know what's from Minsk? From before World War I, Reb Aaron Cutler was from Minsk. Reb Yaakov Kamenetsky was from Minsk. Reb Reuven Grozovsky was from Minsk. Minsk was an Ir HaTorah. It was a city of Torah. So some Someone said, "Oh, there's a nice Chabad." And I said, "Why do you talk?" I said, "Even if they make people religious, they don't have the education to make good doylem, great scholars like they had in Minsk 100+ years ago. They what was Minsk when in the 1950s? When they Torah Minsk?
Was 1950?
Yeah.
It was Minsk.
Was there Torah there? Yeshivas?
No, no.
Chadarim. '60s. Anything? They ruined it, and yeah, they stole it." They ripped away Torah from all of Russian Jewry. And they fed them godlessness. More a moral, no real morals. I'm not talking about your families. You obviously can't. You're here. Someone back there was praying for you. You don't know, and who knows when they prayed? Who knows what the merit is? You know, when you left, you could have ended up in a town where you never met a religious Jew in your lives. The Russian Jews are going to happen to. They're Russian Jews even when they became free, they're not free. They ended up never seeing Torah. Somebody prayed for you. They have some merit to meet somebody, to have some inspiration. And who knows which prayer it was? Who knows what day it was? Maybe it was a 5,000 prayers, and maybe it was one. Only Hashem knows that. My point to us is we don't even realize the opportunities we have. So Ramchal now continues and about other things. The Gemara says that another person should always rush, hasten to a davar mitzvah. That because the older daughter, Lot's older daughter, preceded his younger daughter. We know that Lot's daughter is after Sodom. What did they do? They had relations, but because she had Zrizus to be with her father, her descendant came in first. Moav, which is Rus, came Shvuas, came in before night from the first night. Lot's daughter had a descendant called Rus, who married Boaz. And from the second night, from Ammon, was a descendant named Naama, who married Rehoboam, who was a son of Shlomo. Both of them had a merit, because they had somewhat good intentions when they were with their father, right? They thought the whole world was destroyed, etc. But the older one went first, and she had 4 generations earlier that she had Rus come from her. Amru Zrizim, when they're a little kid, they always tell us, Zrizim, Makdimin, Lemitzvus. That people who have zrizus hasten to do mitzvahs. And it says la'olam. Also, it says la'olam yaretz adam dvar mitzvah hilo Shabbos. You can run for a mitzvah even on Shabbos. On Shabbos, the Navi says you should walk slowly and peacefully. Shabbos is peaceful, but if you have a chance to do a mitzvah, you can run. You can not. You can push yourself. You know why? Because even on Shabbos, if you don't run sometimes, you lose opportunity. And even on Shabbos, it's important to run for a mitzvah, because when you learn to run for mitzvahs, you get mitzvahs. We'll pick up in 2 weeks.